Good morning. It is June 17th, Wednesday, also known as Hump Day in the United States. Why is it called Hump Day? Well, in case you're from Europe, where nothing ever happens, it's because some dude in the 1800s was just went around humping everyone. Comedy writing here has been, ever since Fable left us, the comedy writing here has been awful, but yeah, some dude was humping people. So, you know, go out, hump your wife, hump your husband, your wife's boyfriend. She has a boyfriend. Let her stay out a little late tonight. Buy her flowers. Tell her you love her. Tell her thank you. Slap her ass. I hear this is great for their confidence. Anyway, there is a lot to talk about today. A lot. Still no word on Fable. A little bit has come out. And here's this letter from the Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick. Dear Mr. Amodei, some serious verbiage here. I'm informing you that a license is required for Claude Mythos 5. Now, here's the part that was, yeah, if I was Dario reading this, man, I would be a little insulted. He's giving them instructions. When submitting a license application through the simplified network application process redesign, snapr.biz.gov, you must indicate in the additional information box that the application is submitted based on this and attach a copy of the letter. Dude, Dario can't even, it doesn't even have a direct line. He's got to go through the website like everyone else, and the website probably sucks ass. He's going to forget his password. He's going to need to verify his ID. The reason we can't access Mythos and Fable right now is because Dario can't access the website, man. The website is broken. He hits the submit button. Nothing happens. This is what he asked for, dude? This is what he wanted? I mean, what did he think it was going to look like? This is what you have to wonder. Dario's, like, begging to be regulated. You know, he thought the government would be some neutral arbiter. But, you know, this is politics. This is left versus right. OpenAI, Google, you might consider them somewhat... I would consider them centrist, if anything. But Anthropic is just so damn lefty. Just typical San Francisco stuff. It's just so awkward for them. Like, I've seen reporting on this whole saga that... You know, the language just isn't there. There's like a language barrier between the administration and Anthropic. They just speak two different languages. And you've heard Dario talk. I mean, the guy speaks in nerd, dude. And who can understand that? Now, the big news, of course, is that SpaceX has agreed to acquire Cursor, to exercise the option to acquire Cursor in an all-stock transaction, which is insane. As of now, it is the fifth or sixth most valuable company in the world, in the U.S. stock market, $2.5 trillion valuation. These are the most valuable companies, revenue versus profit. Now, NVIDIA's $215 billion, its profit $117, so about half. Now, look at SpaceX, this tiny little thing here. This is not like me crying bubble or anything like that, or inflation or hype. Look, the market loves a good story. That's always been the case. But, you know, you look at a lot of these companies, you're like, where do they have left to grow? You look at Apple and Microsoft and Amazon. They've already blossomed. The SpaceX story is wonderful. Is there a path to them reaching $200 billion in revenue in 10 years? I could see a story there. It's really the super nerdy ones who are using Claude Code or Codex. A lot of the super casual people and the people who are not coders at all are using Cursor. They announced yesterday at their event that they are releasing their own homegrown model from scratch. 1.5 trillion parameters. Absolutely insane. Same size as Claude Opus GPT 5.5. Pre-trained on 100K GPUs. You gotta wonder if this isn't something that was made possible by Elon's access to all these GPUs. Cursor grew from 100 million to 1 billion to 2 billion ARR in 18 months, which is the fastest SaaS to $2 billion ever. 1 million plus paying users, 60% enterprise, and 67% of the Fortune 500. Almost 50% of Anthropic's enterprise revenue came from Cursor. This was back in the early days. And so you got to imagine that a substantial size of Anthropic's revenue still comes from Cursor. I imagine Elon's first order priorities will be to move that slider all the way down to zero. Just completely choke out Anthropic. Will it hurt them? I mean, a little bit, but it's not going to be a death blow by any means. So look, I mean, this is a really good move, I think, for SpaceX and for Cursor. It all depends on SpaceX's valuation. If the Cursor CEO wants to get paid, he just has to make sure Elon does not tweet for the next 4 years. Should be okay. Do not live tweet any of his Ambien insomnia episodes. Should be okay. Speaking of Cursor, I do want to show this tweet from yesterday. This will be interesting to you if you are a developer. Cursor CEO Michael Truell. Of course, I'm butchering the pronunciation. I never hear these guys pronounce their names out loud. So Truell. You know, let me just assume the cooler way of pronouncing it. Michael Truell. I mean, yeah, it's impossible. It's impossible for something to be pronounced like that. Michael Truell. Let's do this. Let's look up the pronunciation. Autocomplete. You had one job. One job, which is to autocomplete this.
Truell. Our goal with Cursor is to invent sort of a new type of programming, a very different way to build software that's kind of just distilled down into you describing the intent to the computer for what you want in the most concise way possible, and really distilled down to just defining how you think the software should work and how you think it should look. You know, there's a group of people who think that, you know, software building in the future is going to look very much like it does today, which mostly means text editing, formal programming languages like TypeScript and Go and C and Rust. And then there's another group that kind of thinks like, you know, you're just going to type into a bot and you're going to ask it to build you something, and then you're going to ask it to change something about what you're building. And it's kind of like this, you know, chatbot, Slackbot style where you're talking to your engineering department. We think that there are problems with both of those visions. The problem with the chatbot style end of things is that lacks a lot of precision. You know, the version of the world where kind of nothing changes, we think is wrong, because we think that the technology is going to get much, much, much better. And so a world, you know, kind of after, you know, after code, I think it looks like a world where you have a representation of the logic of your software that does look more like English, right? You have kind of written down, you can imagine in document form, you can imagine in kind of an evolution of programming language towards pseudocode. You can edit that at a high level and you can point at that. And it won't be kind of the impenetrable millions of lines of code. It'll instead be something that's like much terser and easier to understand and easier to navigate.
What's interesting is that he says this is our goal. But to me, that sounds easy to prototype. Like, how hard could it really be to invent this abstraction? What I think is going on, I actually tweeted about this, and I said it would be funny if this pseudocode representation doesn't just end up in one of these AI labs re-releasing programming languages in a couple years as like a novel new discovery. Like, the fact that it's their goal and they haven't been able to do this just tells me that every time they've tried, they've just recreated code. Like, you want something precise, you want something that is predictable. Well, that's just code. And anytime you try to venture away from code, you get into the land of randomness and non-determinism. And that's just not what software is. Moving on to a new open source model from China, GLM 5.2. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but the benchmarks on this look absolutely insane. Almost unbelievable, like literally. Like, the benchmarks have become meaningless or something, because this is an open source model that if you were to take out Claude Fable, if Claude Fable didn't exist, which is the world we live in, then GLM 5.2 beats out Opus 4.8 and GPT 5.5 on front end coding. An open source model that you could sell for, I mean, not you, you probably couldn't afford to, but it's super cheap. It's 82% cheaper than Opus 4.8. This is a useful chart. How many output tokens does $3,000 buy? If you were to use DeepSeek V4 Pro, that's 3.45 billion tokens. With GLM 5.2, 682 million tokens. And with Claude Fable 5, that's 60 million tokens. So you can see how insanely economical these are. I mean, this single-handedly built, China is single-handedly like solving the AI bubble here. Microsoft is exploring DeepSeek over OpenAI and Anthropic as Copilot Cowork moves to usage-based pricing, which Copilot being usage-based and being built on top of OpenAI and Anthropic, there's zero money to be made there. I mean, it's exorbitantly expensive, and they're looking to the open source models. As we talked about a couple times already, the $200 plan on Anthropic and OpenAI is getting you $8,000 and $14,000 respectively of usage, highly subsidized to build addiction to build the workflows in your company so that once the price goes up, there's nothing you could do. Satya has published an article on X talking about how we cannot put everything in the hands of OpenAI and Anthropic. We need to make these models sort of replaceable and build the overlying infrastructure around these models so that we could easily swap one model for the other. If it wasn't for these open source models, what I would expect to happen is to continue to see subsidization wars between SpaceX, OpenAI, and Anthropic, and whoever can keep the subsidies going longest wins. And if that were the race, I would imagine that SpaceX would be the most capitalized, and they would just sort of compete to the bottom. GLM 5.1 had the same sort of impressive aura to it, but usage-wise, it didn't really permeate through the developer culture. Most developers still preferred Opus and GPT 5.5, probably because it was so heavily subsidized. Once we see the true price, man, if we could only see the true price of these things, if we can get to that phase of this whole episode, we could start having much more better conversations. But OpenAI and Anthropic are just polluting the discourse with these highly subsidized plans that do not allow us to arrive at the end game. The end game is the end of the subsidies. That's when we find out what all of this is worth, and we're just having such a hard time making progress here. And so I cannot wait for these subsidies to be over. And actually, it's already sort of happening very slowly. Everything is moving over to usage-based pricing, which you love to see because it's starting to force people's hands, and we're starting to see big actors like Microsoft moving to open source models. This is really good stuff. If you're a fan of the bubble exploding, it's sort of happening very slowly. A blog post by Tim Ferriss, the author of The 4-Hour Workweek. He talks about how AI has killed sales of his nonfiction books. He says, before we dive into my dirty laundry, let's state the obvious. Millions of people have a vague sense that AI is changing things, and LLMs sure are convenient for getting answers quickly. And by 2026, his sales are down 57% versus 2025. And he's saying that these books were on the bestseller list for years and years and were a very reliable, consistent, and predictable source of income for him. He says, if the run rate hold, my catalog will sell roughly 80% fewer print copies in 2026 than it did in 2022. And he says, what's actually going on is that on some level, the 4-hour body is a lookup table. And in 2019, the best interface to those answers was a book. But in 2026, the best interface to those answers is a chatbot who's stolen all his books, right? I mean, how cruel is that? If how-to books are getting crushed because LLMs seem to provide faster, cheaper, and more personalized advice, then what's next on the chopping block? He says, how-to YouTube videos. Why scrub through a 24-minute video to find the 40 seconds you need when an AI can watch it for you? And so he says, will anything survive in its current form? He says, probably. Experience that isn't solely information. Comedy, entertainment, storytelling, fiction, etc. Yeah, look, man, the only jobs right now are stripper or comedy. My comedy career is tanking here, so I gotta stop eating cake, man. Tim Ferriss wrote, of course, The 4-Hour Workweek, and now the AI can summarize that whole thing in 4 seconds. So it outdid him. The AI, I mean, it 4-seconded him, dude. This is serious stuff, man. AI is definitely shifting things around. It stole all these people's books, and now you can just talk to the AI. So hang in there, and I will see you next time. Thanks for watching.